Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of June 2, 2023. This week we pray for our graduates, as well as those who are moving on to new things in life. And we pray for those who are ailing and needing rest, rehabilitation, and recovery. Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Our next reading is from Acts chapter 2. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. And God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence.' Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, and he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." And our next reading is from Matthew chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." And the reading for our discussion is from Leviticus chapter 2. When anyone brings a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. He shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it and bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests. And he shall take from it a handful of the fine flour and oil with all of its frankincense. And the priest shall burn this at its memorial portion on the altar, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. But the rest of the grain offering shall be for Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the Lord's food offerings. When you bring a grain offering baked in the oven as an offering, it shall be unleavened loaves of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers smeared with oil. And if your offering is a grain offering baked on a griddle, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. You shall break it in pieces and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. And if your offering is a grain offering cooked in a pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And you shall bring the grain offering that is made of these things to the Lord. And when it is presented to the priest, he shall bring it to the altar. And the priest shall take from the grain offering its memorial portion and burn this on the altar, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. But the rest of the grain offering shall be for Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the Lord's food offerings. No grain offering that you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven, nor any honey as a food offering to the Lord. As an offering of first fruits, you may bring them to the Lord, but they shall not be offered on the altar for a pleasing aroma. You shall season all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be missing from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. If you offer a grain offering of first fruits to the Lord, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits fresh ears, roasted with fire, crushed new grain, and you shall put oil on it and lay frankincense on it. It is a grain offering, and the priest shall burn as its memorial portion some of the crushed grain and some of the oil with all its frankincense. It is a food offering to the Lord. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Today, the date of this podcast is apparently Free Donut Day. The Rise and Roll Bakery near us is one of 16 locations where free donuts were offered as long as supplies last. The Indiana Company, which was bought from an Amish couple in 2009 and franchised and expanded, has won a bundle of awards for the best donuts in America. The Underground Donut Tour, voted on by customers, awarded these awards. My wife had me take my daughter this morning for a free donut, a rare treat. I discovered this item when my nephew and niece-in-law had them at their wedding reception. They had breakfast for dinner. I also discovered that you need a napkin when you eat these donuts, as I promptly got powdered cinnamon sugar all over my suit. This particular donut was voted the best yeast donut. They are delicious. I get them a few times a year generally for special occasions. If you could take a picture of a smell, a snapshot of that aroma, the smell in that bakery is wonderful. The sense of smell is a powerful thing. When you recognize the smell, it can transport you directly back to an instance in your childhood. Smells can evoke powerful emotions in us. Smells, for better or worse, are a powerful thing. The senses God has given us are a wondrous thing. More marvelous things are certainly to come when God restores everyone who believes in Jesus to their full senses of sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch, in the resurrection. While we should always take care regarding people's subjective experiences, a friend who was on the very edge of death but was brought back and healed described what's to come as being so intense that he said, imagine being able to taste colors. In the fallen world, we can lose parts or all of certain senses. The gifts of the senses are difficult to describe and to put a finger on. We may take them for granted until they start to fail us. A few years ago, it became very apparent that I needed glasses for reading. Other folks have had glasses or even hearing aids their entire lives. Now, the sense of smell is such that when you smell something, as I understand from biology years ago, there are actually little particles from the object you are smelling that go up into your nose and contact your smell receptors. If you smell something delicious, there are particles of that in your nose. And unfortunately, that is true of the things that are kind of yucky too. When we consider the sacrifices of Leviticus, there are mysteries here that are difficult to fully understand. There are different aspects and purposes of the sacrifices that are brought. In the first chapter, we spoke of the burnt offering. According to the Lutheran Study Bible, the purpose was access to God's favor and acceptance by God, enacted by the production of a pleasing aroma with smoke from the whole animal. It is interesting to note
that the sacrifices offered have a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The eternal God who created us with the sense of smell is described as being able to smell the sacrifices that are offered. Some sacrifices are about making the people holy and atoning for sin, while other offerings are about testing the devotion of the people. Holy Communion is more like a sacrifice. The sacrifice has already been offered in Christ Jesus, who atones for all our sins. He is the perfect sacrifice and the fulfillment of all sacrifice. My understanding of Roman Catholic doctrine is that their belief is that Jesus is sacrificed again in the sacrament. The sacrament is transformed into the body and blood of Christ. This is called transubstantiation. Lutherans believe in a doctrine that we call the real presence. Now, the Roman Catholic idea of sacrificing Christ again is not what Scripture says. And this is not what the Lutheran teaching is. While the Roman Catholic teaching still holds a very high view of the sacrament, which is good, the Lutheran view is this. When Christ says, "This is my body, this is my blood," that is exactly what he is giving us. His body and blood, which are truly present in the sacrament, though we cannot see them. If Christ sits at the right hand of God, how can he be present in the sacrament? Well, he is God. God is omnipresent everywhere, and whether we can see it or not, God can and does make it so. The covenant Jesus was making in his body and blood was his last will and testament before his crucifixion, and so we take him at his word. The offerings we give today, whether in currency, checks, or physical goods, are tests of our devotion. We give them freely to God, but they are kind of like when Cain and Abel brought their offerings to God in Genesis chapter 4. Abel's offering was of the best, and Cain's offering was not regarded well. This caused deep jealousy in Cain, and afterward he took the life of his brother. His offering was disregarded because he did not bring his best. That is what we believe according to the evidence in the text. In Genesis chapter 14, Abram gave a tenth to Melchizedek, priest of God Most High, after Melchizedek blessed him with the blessing, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." After Jacob had a dream of angels ascending and descending on a ladder in confirmation from God that he too would have many descendants, and that the families of the earth would be blessed through his offspring, Jacob set up a pillar in the place of his dream and pledged a full tenth to God. This is the basis for the offerings we give today. We have freedom to give according to the blessings God has given. The test here is, will we give our best tenth off the top? When we give out of faith. Though giving does not save us at all, we show that we have faith in God's continued provision in our lives. God will provide. He can make goods flow as if from nothing, just as Jesus turned water into wine. Though it may seem scary to give a tenth of our wages off the top, or whatever good seem proper in the grand scheme of things, I think most of us would take 90% of anything. The perfectionists out there might not accept a 90% on a test, but no question any team would accept a 90% winning record over many seasons. Even the best teams don't have that. So God's gift of 90% to us is exceedingly generous. How many times do we pay 10% or more interest in our lives, or 10% or more in taxes? Add all these things up and we'll start seeing that they come out to more than 10% of our wages. Now, these things are worth considering. When you give off the top, you won't miss it if you make a conscious choice to let it go. Regardless, God provides all that we have. In the New Testament, we certainly have the freedom to give less than 10%. But if everyone were to give just 5%, I think church treasuries would have enough and the needs of congregations and ministries would be funded. I think most folks are very leveraged and are paying a great deal of interest on credit cards and a tremendous amount of debt. That's the way of American life. When this burden is removed, and it can be done through a conscious and concerted effort, it is a great relief. And so I think giving becomes easier. Though I was taught about giving from childhood, I didn't give 10% until I was married. And it's not a point of boasting to say that we give 10%. But it was a priority for my wife, who is much more well attuned to finances. But it is true that a tenth of our wages or goods is a number used as an example in Scripture. There is no law that we give that much. It is what the patriarchs gave. And as far as giving goes, we can't outgive God. The sky's the limit. God loves us and extends His grace to us apart from our giving record. So chapter 2 of Leviticus is about the grain offering. A brief summary again from the Lutheran Study Bible. It produces a pleasing aroma with smoke from the token portion, providing most holy bread for making the priests holy and receiving acceptance from God. This offering was of fine flour, I assume the best when using the word fine, but it could also be finely milled. Oil was to be poured on it and frankincense was to be put on it, making for a wonderful aroma when it was burned. This aroma was pleasing to the Lord when baked by Aaron and his sons. The loaves that were made were to be unleavened. Leaven is a reminder of sin. It spreads throughout the bread and causes it to expand. No yeast donuts for the priests here. It could be baked on a griddle. Whereas the burnt offering in chapter 1 sounded a lot like a barbecue, this sounds a bit like cooking waffles. When cooked, the priest is to bring the offering to the altar. From this, a memorial portion shall be given to God. The rest was given to the priests for their provision, much like our offerings today. No leaven was to be used in the offerings, no yeast that would make the offering impure. Then all the grain offerings were to be offered with salt, itself a purifier. All the offerings were to be offered with salt. The ears of grain were to be fresh as well, giving to God and His servants of the best. After all, we all like fresh bread, don't we? The offerings are not secondhand, not of the leftovers and crumbs. They are of the best. These offerings were about devotion to God, giving of one's best, and providing for those who serve God. Do you give of your best? I think all of us want of the best for ourselves. We may think to ourselves that we can't possibly give 10% or afford to give our best. What it definitely requires is discipline. Firstly, God gives back to us abundantly, even when we give 10%. God loves us and wants the best for us. He provides. We don't give so that we will be rewarded. We give out of love and devotion. What God returns may also be in unexpected blessings that cannot be quantified in dollars. Where we give in dollars, God may provide abundant fruit from the earth, or abundantly producing livestock, or health, or the generous love of family, and the blessings of children. Currency is only a means to an end. We can't eat it. It doesn't provide any kind of pleasure. It is a tool for buying food or services or products. Yet, it is this very same discipline by which God uses in us to teach us how to give, that God may make abundance possible in our lives. Dave Ramsey, a well-known commentator who talks about getting out of debt, says that you live like no one else so that in the end you can live like no one else. What that means is you may cut back and work hard, take on extra jobs and opportunities to get out of debt, but in the end, because you're not paying excessive interest and living beyond your means, you will have plenty for the things that are really important to you. It was a similar discipline that God gave Joseph, that they might save the abundant grain in the 7 years of plenty so that many nations and peoples would be saved in the 7 years of famine at the end of Genesis. Good discipline is truly a life-saving thing. To a certain extent, the grain offering may remind us of the bread that is given in Holy Communion. Though we might see the purposes of it as something different, God gives us similar models and reminders of His work and what He is doing. In the bread of Holy Communion, we receive Christ's body for the forgiveness of our sins. The grain offering, otherwise, was for the provision of the priest and to be given in remembrance of God's gracious providence. Similar to the offerings we put in the offering to provide for the minister and for the work of the congregation and its ministries. God graciously accepted the grain offering not because the people earned that acceptance, but because He offers His grace richly. In Christ, God accounts to us righteousness for those who believe in Him and love Him. We didn't earn it, but God gave a righteous, pure, and holy sacrifice by giving the life of His Son. For our lives, God is abundantly gracious. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I am grateful for your provision. You have given me the gift of life, family, and everything. Comfort those who know losses because of the fallen world, and renew them in the promises of life, salvation, and the rest that you give through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many graduates in our lives. We pray that as they go on to new levels and new adventures in life, that you'd watch over them and care for them. Help them never to fall out of faith, but trust in your promises for them, knowing your Son Jesus, and having salvation in Him. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work in their hearts, that you guide them to the good of society, and help them to work in ways which are to your glory. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be with all who are moving on to new careers and new stages in life. We pray that you guide them. We pray for those who are ailing, that you comfort and care for them, for those who are dealing with mental illness, for those who are going through surgeries, who are recovering from injuries. Heavenly Father, let your healing hand be upon them through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Our special verse for today is a verse which is quoted by Jesus and quoted in Acts. It comes from Psalm 110. It's an amazing verse that reminds us of the Trinity even in the Old Testament. Our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and this week we will be celebrating Trinity Sunday. And so the verse is this, Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Now, this is a psalm of David. So the first Lord is the Father, who says to my Lord, the person who is saying my Lord, is a Lord himself because he is king. So if the highest officer in the land, being the king, is called Lord, who does he call Lord? So the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Father, the Lord, says to my Lord, the Son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Now, the Holy Spirit is also spoken of in the Old Testament. The first instance is in the beginning, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So we see the Trinity in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. All of our scriptures, all of our verses come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is your health and salvation. Let all who heed now to his temple draw near, joining in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things is wondrously reigning, and as on wings of an eagle uplifting, sustaining. Have you not seen all that is needful has been sent by his gracious ordaining? Praise to the Lord, who has fearfully, wondrously made you. Health has bestowed, and when heedlessly falling has stayed you, what need or grief ever has failed of relief? Wings of his mercy did change you. Praise to the Lord, who will prosper your work and defend you. Surely his goodness and mercy shall daily attend you. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, as with his love he befriends you. Praise to the Lord, oh let all that is in me adore him. All that has life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again, gladly forever adore him.
The day thou gavest, Lord, is ended. The darkness falls at thy behest. To thee our morning hymns ascend. Thy praise shall sanctify our rest. We thank thee that thy church unsleeping, while earth rolls onward into light,
through all the world her watch is keeping, and never rests by day or night. As o'er each continent and island the dawn leads on, silent, nor dies the strain of praise away. The sun that bids us rest is waking, thy saints beneath the western skies, and hour by hour as day is breaking, fresh hymns of thankful praise arise. So be it, Lord, thy throne shall never, stands and grows forever, till all thy creatures own thy sway. We praise you and acknowledge you, O God, to be the Lord, the Father everlasting, by all the earth adored. To you all angel powers cry aloud, the heavens sing, the cherubim and seraphim their praises to you bring. Oh, holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, your majesty and glory fill the heavens and the earth. The band of the apostles in glory sing your praise. The fellowship of prophets, their deathless voices raise. The martyrs of your kingdom, a great and noble throng, sing with the holy church throughout all the world this song. Oh, all majestic Father, your true and only Son, the Holy Spirit Comforter, forever three in one. You, Christ, our King of glory, the everlasting Son, yet you with boundless love sought to rescue everyone. You laid aside your glory, were born a virgin's womb, were crucified for us, and were placed into a tomb. Then by your resurrection, you won for us reprieve. heaven's kingdom to all who would believe. You who sit in splendid glory, enthroned at God's right hand, upholding earth and heaven, my forces you command. We know that you will come as our judge that final day. So help your servants you have redeemed by blood, we pray. May we, saints, be numbered where praises never end. In glory everlasting,